All right. Cool times. Well, welcome to Season with Salt. This is episode 34. This is your host, Dominique Beaumonte, and I have a special guest with me in the, I want to call it the studio because it's not really a studio, especially if you knew where I was, but I'm not going to say that on the air. Definitely not a studio. I have a special guest with me, and it's kind of perfect because it's kind of Mother's Day week, I guess, and I have a guest with me. Why don't you introduce yourself, guest?
Hi, Doms. My name's Amanda Langston Barnett. I guess better known to Dominique as Mandy or Mans from college.
That's who you are. My special guest today is, I was going to say one of my college roommates, but I don't think I had another one. Did I have another college roommate?
Well, I guess in the summer school, when you were in summer school.
Oh, yes. Those college roommates shall go nameless. So Amanda and I, this is the way I remember it. You're going to have to say if this is not the way that you remember it. I believe we were cheerleaders for rival schools. And I believe that during maybe like the first week of school, maybe welcome week, maybe I walked past your room or you walked past my room. Do you know?
I do. Well, we had J101 together. And
the first quarter?
Yes. The very first quarter, we had J101 together. And
your memory's better than mine.
Yes. Yeah, so then I would always see you in like the opposite end of the classroom. Well, the big lecture hall, I guess. And so, we were definitely rivals until I think we were in the same dorms one day. You came up and said something to me, and then we were like inseparable since then.
Right.
But it was like a rivalry until it was just an opposite of a rivalry. Like.
Right. This is crazy. So. It all is crazy because I think that like I know I lived on the fourth floor and I thought you lived above me.
Yeah, I was on the seventh floor, I think.
That's what I thought. I think I lived on the fourth floor, and then like I had a roommate that was like on mushrooms or something like that, and so I ended up moving across the street to the international dorm. Remember?
Yeah.
And then, but it was like you either lived with me, you are, or you didn't. But it was a sacrifice that I had to make to have my own room, which was very important to me.
It was a sacrifice because you had to share a bathroom, I think, after that.
That's right.
Those perks.
You must remember when my roommate used to, like, he knew that I liked herbal essence. And so he used to, like, take a shower or something with herbal essence after he got done smoking weed. And I don't know if you remember that, but like one time, like I came home and it smelled like herbal essence and weed, and he had like a towel like under the floor, and that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm like,
herbal essence?
Huh?
So it was your herbal essence, or he was just trying to be considerate?
I think I just liked herbal essence. I don't know if whose it was, but I think I might have mentioned that to him. And he was like a very wealthy kid from New York. And I remember there across from the UI, there was like that house called the Brown House.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to say that you could get like any drug from the Brown House that you ever like wanted. And so I think that people would stand at the 7-Eleven, which is across the street, and like somebody from the Brown House would bring them the drug, and then. But anyway, this is too much. Anyway, so that's the freshman year, and then sophomore year. Were we roommates sophomore year, or did we? In sophomore year, we both lived in the commons, huh?
Yeah, we lived in the same apartment complex, but you had your own place, and then I had like a revolving roommate situation, like every term.
Right. I remember that. I do remember that. And then sophomore year, we definitely lived, or junior year, we lived together.
Yes. Jamie. Yes. Yeah. Junior year, we lived together.
Right. We moved out to the suburbs.
Yes. Far out.
Right.
<It's> far.
There were a lot of epic nights. I could see that street because at the end of the street, there was like a firehouse. And I remember one night that you're a mother now, so I will not review this night, but I could see that the firehouse was blue. I just remember that. And anyway, it was a long night. So I will not incriminate Amanda, but I think it's fair to say that I will incriminate myself. I had not been exposed to alcohol until I got to college, and I was very much I was an explorer, if you will.
Well, I think that's what college is for the most part.
Okay, great.
So undergrad college. At least your first few years, when you have to figure it out because you're getting close to go time.
Right. That really died down when I was responsible for filling my own liquor shelf. Then I think that's when the 211 Steel Reserve days started. But anyway. When I could no longer be the crowd. I think we had a year where we were friends or something like that. There was like a weird, did we have a year like that? It was like one year where all the sophomores broke up and parted ways with the seniors or something like that.
No, I don't think we had a year where we weren't friends.
But we had a weird year, though, where nobody lived by each other. So that had to be senior year. Well, it would have been my senior year, but you...
Where did you live? We all moved to Springfield. So if you didn't move to Springfield, right, then we were out there. So it was just everybody who was out there was just out there.
Right. I feel like I moved to Springfield first, though, because I lived in Springfield my fourth year, and I feel like you guys moved to Springfield your fifth year.
It was fourth year too, and then I moved back and lived in the same area that we had lived in when we were roommates, just a different apartment complex. So, but you were not there anymore because you already graduated.
Right. I do not understand why I graduated early. I just do not understand. Sometimes I wonder that, how did I miss that fifth year? And I feel like that year was just a wash. Because I just remember the only memory that I have of that is living in Ashland, Oregon and doing nothing all day.
you went to summer school, so you technically got a full year of classes in the summer.
Yeah, but I feel like I missed out on something. I don't know why. I just felt like I missed out on something. So
yeah, it was a fun year, not gonna lie.
It seems like it was a fun year, but so now we were all in the NABJ, and that year we won Chapter of the Year. And even though I had graduated, I think that I came back and went to NABJ with you all. I do remember that.
Yeah,
that was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was, off of the sweat of your brow, though, that we won that. So rightfully that you were there.
Perhaps. the beginning of not living a life with no balance definitely began in college. things have certainly changed. You got married. You have five kids.
Yes, that is correct.
You have five lovely kids. I will admit that I was when I was thinking about this episode, I had started writing down all the kids' names. And then I realized, and then I was going to go through all their names and say how they were my favorite. And it was Caden and Nixon and Coco. And then something happened. And then I realized that the two that I'm missing, the baby, and then my favorite is the one that I can never remember his name. And I didn't say it.
Yeah, that's Cruz. And he's your favorite because he was crying that one time you watched him. When he was like, what, one, I think? One, I think it was like one or two.
Right.
And he was Kyson like so upset. Yeah. And Kyson's the one who was like chasing after you when you just were leaving after the football game.
Right.
Dad! Where are you going, Dad?
I have like a love-hate relationship with children. Like some kids will start crying and like people are amazed that like kids that won't go to other people will come to me. And then on the other hand, like just recently I went out with somebody and their son was with them, was like two, and he spit on me. Like it made me rethink like my whole life. Like he just like I just didn't know if maybe that was a sign or anyway.
Take you back to middle school days when you were like, hold on, what just happened?
Right, because I definitely got spit out in middle school, but that's not for this episode.
It's like a full flashback.
Right. I just. So you just finished graduate school. You went to an unnamed institution that was not the University of Oregon in Washington. That was not definitely a premier school in the field, but I'm saying this out of angst against. This is a football related term.
It is, but we did pretty well, I think, in football and basketball. It's not too shabby, Clay. Thompson's a product of the school.
Oh, are you talking about your Washington State Cougars?
I am.
Oh, are you like a person for them? Like, are you like?
I am when they're not playing the Ducks. I'm like, oh, there's my school. But then when they're playing the Ducks, I'm like, oh, go Ducks.
You know, it's crazy. I went to UNLV for grad school and. Like, there's just no chance that UNLV would ever play Oregon in football. So I never had to worry about that. Like, and if they would, it would be, like, one of those, like, cupcake games at the beginning of the season. Now, basketball is a whole different story. Like, my final year, I think that maybe, like, Oregon and UNLV went to the Sweet 16 or something against each other, like twice. Like, and so I don't think you ever have to worry about that. In
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I didn't, I had like a free t shirt, but I just didn't. Like, I was like, ooh, let me go get a UNLV shirt.
But that's a different kind of campus, though. Like, you're in a city. It doesn't have like the college campus vibe that, you know, other schools where that's pretty much all that's going on is. But I mean, I'm a little different because I went to the global campus. So I have yet to see the campus of Washington State University.
Oh, wow.
So I was looking forward to doing that this weekend, but had to cancel that because of coronavirus.
Wait a minute, though. You've definitely stepped foot on Washington State University campus. We didn't have like a crazy Pullman night before.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been there before. Yeah, we were in a step show there. We were in
that's
the
right,
step
that's
show
right.
there for, I forget what it was called. I just came across all the pictures the other day.
Oh yeah, because you guys, your chapter, the Sigma Delta chapter, celebrated 20 years of existence.
That's correct.
That's
yes. Why. I know it That's was. Why. I was like, "There's no way that was 20 years ago."
We were there. That's crazy.
I know.
We were freshmen, huh? Were we freshmen?
Fresh. I think no sophomores, right? No. Freshmen, right?
Do you have a sleeping baby?
Oh, I do, yes. He's snoring really loud.
Yes, what baby is that?
That's the 2-year-old Kyson.
Hi, Kyson. He's enjoying his nap. So what's your advice to like 30-something mothers, like, going to grad school? Like, are you a pro at that, or are you like, don't do it?
I feel like I just know so many other people that have, you know, been in the same situation or done it or have had, you know, a lot of other things going on. Like a lot of the assistant teachers in my kids' classes at school are, you know, parents, and then they're also going to grad school, and then they're also working in the classroom, you know, from 9 until, or I guess 7 probably, until, you know, 3 or 4. So it didn't seem like undoable. I do know that your timing, like your priorities, kind of have to shift, and it doesn't have to be all the time, you know, but there definitely are some weekends where, you know, you just have to tell the kids, like, sorry, it's just going to be boring this weekend because I've got so much classwork, but hey, you guys are going to get pizza or something, because really I don't have time to cook. But they don't really think of it that way. They think, hey, we get pizza.
Yay. Yeah, right. Yeah. We have to eat well because mom is busy.
Yeah.
That's funny. What's it like now with, like, the coronavirus and, like, the kids being at home? And are you, like, their teacher?
I am, yeah. But, you know, it's, at first it felt really crazy, but I think it's just because everything happened so quickly and nobody really seemed to know what the plan was or what was going on. And the messaging that was coming from everywhere was changing day to day. So, you know, it was hard to know what we were doing, if what we were doing was the right thing. But my kids, they go to a partial homeschool anyways. So I kind of had a little bit, I guess, of like a buffer where I kind of already knew what to expect. So I wasn't like as thrust into it as families, I think, that weren't, you know, used to having their kids going to school 5 days a week and then having regular, you know, homework and that sort of thing. But yeah, it's been a work in progress, but I feel like now the dust is kind of settled, and so we're all kind of into a routine. I like that. And I also like that, you know, they were like homeschooled before, but only one day a week. So now I really know what they're working on, and I try and encourage them to work on, you know, things that they have interest in. The things that they don't have interest in, it's kind of fun trying to come up with other ways that they will pay attention to what it is. Like my daughter, she is really into like Barbies and fashion and, you know, that sort of thing, cheerleading and dance and stuff. So like when she's learning
math, gosh, a little cheerleader on your hands, huh?
Oh yeah, she's already a cheerleader. Like she's she's pretty sexy. Yeah, she's gonna be doing Pop Warner in the fall, and she's like so excited about it. But and she would like only school. She's like, no, I'm doing Mavs. Like I'm not doing whatever the other school's options were.
No, is that her way?
It's like, okay, excuse me. So, but yeah, she's so funny. We, to teach her like symmetry, I took like a stick in the yard, and I'm like, okay, how many Barbies have to go on this side to match with the Barbies on this side? And then like line them up so they look nice, and then stand here like you're taking a picture. And like, she got it that way. But like, you know, on the paper and stuff, it was just, it's like, you know, pulling teeth. But outside in the yard with Barbies and making it look nice for, and she gets to take pictures, she was like all about it. So, you know,
go.
Yeah. It was just trial and error, but there was a lot of yelling the first couple of weeks. I can't, not gonna lie.
Do you when you look at like other people, like other moms in particular, like complaining about like the number of kids that they have, do you think like you're stupid, like you have no idea, or is it like, do you have it down, or is it a work in progress?
I think it's always like progress, just because kids change so much, you know, like when you finally have it down, you know, they get older. So, you know, my oldest is now, he just became a teenager, a few months ago. And that's just like completely different, like can of worms. And talking to, Janara, our friend Janara, you know, I was talking to her a couple weeks ago, and she's she's teaching her oldest son how to drive right now. And I'm like right behind her, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like how did this happen so fast? Like I swear I was just learning how to drive, you know. So that's, I don't know, it just seems like it's just that, like the saying, long days, short years, where you know everything just goes by so quick. Yeah. But when you're in it day to day, it's like sometimes Groundhog's Day, just kind of slogging through to get everything
right.
Done. So.
Okay, so let's have a little fun. Okay, so I have to credit you, because I don't know if I ever, like, I think that you inspired my love for periodicals. I don't know if I ever, like, I don't know. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, why do I love magazines so much? And you were like a little magazine person back in the day. Do you still like magazines?
I was too. My other roommate. You know what's so funny? I could just like get a magazine and just go into like a cat, just like live. You know, like that's what I would love to be doing. But I have not done that in so long, just because I just don't have time. Like, I don't have time. You just get interrupted so much if you try and sit down. It seems like such a decadence to sit down with a magazine and, you know, think I'm not going to get interrupted or have to do, like, 1,000 other things. But, like, that was the literally, like, the first thing I did when I, like, was staring down my last final. I was like, I'm going to go buy a magazine and I'm going to read this magazine. And I was so excited. I can't even tell you, like, the last time I bought a magazine to sit down and read it. That was, like, literally last week when I was turning in my last final. I, like, went to the store and I was like, what magazine can I get? Because I'm getting something at this checkout counter. Can't do anything else. Everything else is locked down. So let me just go on ahead and pick up HGTV magazine and I will be good.
That's wild. I get magazines all the time, but I don't read them. I subscribe to like 5 of them. Like if I see like any kind of like ad, like buy 10 and get it for $5, like I'm just on it. It's a problem. I really need to read some of them, and like, but I just, life just does not give you the time. I wish I could read like all my magazines when I get them at the beginning of the month and just like read through them. It doesn't work out like that ever.
It's like to be able to sit down and read a magazine. Like I swear I used to do that all the time, but now it's just, who has the time? Yeah. And they're all kind of falling by the wayside, so their options are actually not all there. There used to be so many other options for magazines. There's really not that, like, it took me a while to find something I wanted to look at, and then the prices are like insane. Like some of them are $10 because they come out like every.
You gotta subscribe because you subscribe, they're like 10 cents. that's crazy. It's like I always wonder, like, well, how much does it cost to print a magazine and to ship it, and why am I paying $1? what's something? I'll answer this question first. What's something that you realize that you have an abundance of, but you didn't realize it until the quarantine time when there was like nowhere to go? For me, I'd never realized how many disposable bags that I would buy. And I think I just would be in line sometimes and be like, oh, I'll just pay 99 cents for the bag. I've got like 70 Trader Joe's bags, Target disposable bags, and I'm not like domestic. So I realized that the other day. I was like, gosh, like this is, I have a problem in this area. Is there anything that you realize that you have an abundance of that you didn't realize you gathered prior to the quarantine?
No, I mean, I think I know I'm like a hoarder of books. Like I just have a book problem, and it's like, mm-hmm. I don't even think that it's like a problem. I think it's like a good thing, but then it's actually not a good thing to have like so many, cause I don't know where they are. Like if I wanted to go read, you know, book X, I have no idea where it would be. Like I would have find it at the library or buy it again or something like that. So yeah, there's like a ton of books, and I'm actually like in the process of moving, so like that everything feels like I have too much of it because I'm like trying to get rid of stuff, but like the Goodwill and like all the donation places, they're not open or they're not accepting anything, so it's like I just feel like I'm just stuck in all this stuff. So
your answer is books.
Definitely books, but I feel like everything I have too much of right now. Like everything except for paper towels. I don't have enough paper towels for sure. I miss paper towels.
Yeah. Paper towels. Did you it's so funny. I was thinking about this, like how much like I relied on like my some workplace amenities that I didn't, like I hadn't run out of toilet paper, but like just like I've washed my hands so much that, like, I had taken for granted, like, the use of paper towels. And I have so much hand soap that I didn't really, like, it's funny. But you do make a good point, though. You don't realize how much you have of something until you have to move it. I might have to, like, come preach a sermon about that because I just got a revelation in that moment.
It was actually kind of perfect timing though, because I was like trying to like get down to the bare bones of everything and get rid of everything in the pantry and stuff like that, so it's definitely helped because I don't want to go to the grocery store, and Instacart was not delivering anymore, which was like my, you know, second, like, but that's like my best friend. It's like Instacart. So
I love Instacart.
Yeah, I was like so sad when they were no longer returning my calls.
Oh my god.
No, I mean like they're just no delivery times, like I just could, there's no times available, and then like I would, you know, get a delivery time and it'd be like, you know, a week and a half later. Like, oh my gosh.
All right.
I give up. So, but yeah, that definitely helped like pare down what I had in my pantry and stuff for moving. So,
oh, yeah,
I mean, that's a silver lining to the quarantine.
Right, right. Have you seen those things where you have like five or six options of like what house you'd be in? Like if you could pick, it's like a group of people and you could be in like one house. I've seen Oregon did one where they had like, you know, like you could be with Joey Harrington, you know, like this lists all these athletes. Have you seen those?
Oh, like a quarantine, like who's your ideal quarantine? They're calling it like,
I think it's more like a quarantine house. Like, you know, think real world. Like, does that come on anymore? Probably not.
I think so. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so they're just trying to say like what if you had to pick five people, essentially, like who would you want to be stuck with? Not your kids.
I mean, probably all people that don't take themselves very seriously and they have like a really good sense of humor. So, and they have like a pool. That would be awesome to have a swimming pool or hot tub.
Oh, so you're focused on the the actual like things that the house would have.
Yeah, but the people in the house definitely make a big difference, though. Like, can you imagine if you're just stuck in the house with like, you know, like doomsdayers, or you know, that'd just be so stressful for like months on end. So, like, if Chrissy Teigen, she would be like great to be stuck in a house with because she doesn't take,
really,
and John.
Like,
John Legend, because he could just sing.
Aren't they married to each other?
Yeah, so that would be a great quarantine.
Uh-huh.
Who do you have in your quarantine? Does it have to be people we know, or can it be like celebrities?
No, well, I was thinking about that too. I was thinking about just really interesting people. And I like my dream is to have a reality show where like I make like weird, like unlikely people meet up. Like Hillary Clinton, like meet up with like I feel like that show where like you get like famous people get in the car with comedians. I feel like they stole that from my head because like I feel like I came up with that and then like somebody like wheeled it out of my brain when I was asleep. Because I think I would want to do, like, well, I always wanted to do, like, Bill Gates, Hillary Clinton, me, and Julia Roberts, because we all have the same birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I always thought that would be interesting to just go to lunch with them and, like, just talk about, I think the conversation would be really weird because there would be so many things to talk about. You know what, though, too, that inspired that? Do you remember that show Inside the Actor's Studio?
Yeah.
Right. That guy was like really interesting too, and like not like your average like TV host. And so whenever he would ask really good questions, kind of like Larry King. Larry King was kind of like a weird looking guy that just like had really good questions for like really strange. He would just be all in your face. Like, so why did you do that?
Yeah.
He's like, but I think I would like to be in the, huh?
Go ahead.
I think I'm gonna go with Wendy Williams, because I think she's fun. I think I'd go with Wendy Williams for sure. I like this guy named Simon Sinek. I think he would be fun to like talk to. I think him and Wendy would hit it off. I'm going to just go with Hillary Clinton because I think it would be fun. I don't know. Just think about some art. Maybe like a Jay-Z.
Without Beyonce? Well, I would have Beyonce in my quarantine.
I don't want Beyonce. I'm not interested in Beyonce. If I had to have like a singer or something like that, I don't think I would be into like having a singer because I don't like when I listen to my music. I want, you know, Anita Baker would be a cool person, like an older lady, like Patti LaBelle or somebody would be a cool contrast.
They can, you know, cook like, too, that likes to cook, just bake.
Yeah,
all day.
Seems like she's doing a lot of cooking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's on Facebook doing a lot of cooking.
Yeah, I feel like everybody is right now though. Except
yeah,
for moms of five kids. We're finishing finals.
Do you have an air fryer?
No. You know, I want to get that one that's like built into the toaster oven. Because I feel like that's just like one less appliance to have in your house if you have like the combo. But I don't have. Would you recommend them?
I would. I went to my friend's house. They have three kids. And the little girl came downstairs and put some chicken nuggets into the air fryer. And then, like, 2 seconds later, was eating them. And so I was like, wait. Then the mom cut up a potato and made some french fries, like, in 3 seconds.
Oh, wow.
It was just so amazing. Yeah, like, so I got one. Mine's is, like, 1.6 quarts, but it is... It's just been great for me, like because I like things crispy anyway, but you can like temper how long you have things in. So I don't know. I like my air fryer, but the quarantine for me has really resulted in a lot of like kitchen activity, and so I've gotten a rice cooker and an air fryer and a juicer and a, like I don't know what I'm gonna do with this stuff after this is all over.
Yeah, I don't know. Juicing is messy, so I have a juicer, but
it's expensive.
Yeah, I'm like, this is just taking up real estate in my kitchen. That's the one thing that I will say I have been doing, like catching up on YouTube. Like, I just get stuck down like the YouTube rabbit hole on like whatever the topic of whatever I'm into for the day is. So like, you know, the best way to organize your linen cabinet, or like the best way to organize your kitchen, like cutlery drawers. And then like all the videos that like talk about the best, you know, whatever it may be. So I've been getting like stuck on those.
One time, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because one time I was dating a girl that when I was moving one time, and she put me on to Pinterest, like, because she was like trying to help me get organized for a move, and she made me a whole Pinterest, like a Pinterest thing about moving. And anyway, it had like all this stuff about how to,
A Pinterest board.
Yeah, it was cool because I organized. I know. I organized things by days. I organized things by, like, you know, they said like on Monday do this, like schedule out your day. It was really cool. So yeah, I think all in all, the quarantine is good for us. Number one, it keeps us healthy. Number two, like, we get to be more intentional with our time if we want to be. If we don't want to be, and we're stuck in too much intentionality, we can back up from that. So that's kind of been cool for me. Do you have any plans for like your first three places that you're going to go when the quarantine is like completely over and you feel completely safe?
Well, that's like we've been talking about, yeah, doing like a bucket list, or almost like a, you know, like a sticker chart kind of thing. Like, okay, you know, X is on the calendar, because we don't really know when it's going to end, but they do know when school is going to end. So, so that, you know, the kids get all their schoolwork in on time, and because they have to submit so much every week to the state still. If they get all of that done, then they all kind of picked a place that they want to go to. And I'm just usually, you know, it's like, okay, like, how much stuff can we cram into, you know, like a week? But I'm actually like excited for like all the fun kid places that I feel like usually as a parent, you're like half excited, half like dreading going to, especially like in Southern California when it's like hot and it's like so crowded with like all the tourists. But now I'm like excited for standing in all the long lines like hundreds of people. But I mean, all the main theme parks here that we haven't gotten to go to, that we have passes for, that we're just paying for, like Legoland and Disneyland and Universal Studios, and even like the little pirate dinner theater in the medieval times, like all the kids want to go do all that stuff. I think just to be around people again, I think everyone's excited about. And that used to be the part that I really hated, you know, like, or the parking lot's going to be so crowded, and like, let's get out early. And, you know, but, you know, I feel like it's something that you kind of start to miss a bit. So
yeah.
I think all those things we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
What about you? I
think I'm there too. Like, I feel like I've been outside and like done a lot of things. I do miss like going to the mall. I miss going to the outlet store. I miss most of all getting on the plane. Like, I usually average about one trip a month for whatever reason. I don't know how. And so I miss that. And it'll be crazy because I have a lot of like credits from trips that I was unable to take. So I'm looking forward to like leaving town, like staying at my favorite hotel. Like, but I think that the world is like really changed. So it'll like cause you to be more cognizant about like germs and like protecting your immune system and stuff. And like, I'm concerned about that, but really excited to like get back to the mall. But I think also the stuff not being open and like doing things online has like pushed me to really realize that I don't need things that I thought that I needed. Like, I don't need to actually go to the mall to get the things that I need. I actually just go there for other reasons. And so if
yeah, well, that's important too, then. It's interesting that you say that, because I was just listening, I think it was on NPR just this evening. I think it's Tim Gunn that was the host of what is it called? The fashion show, the Real Project Runway.
Oh, okay.
And he was just on NPR, and they were just talking to him about the future of the fashion industry, because you know, people really aren't shopping right now.
Right.
Because there's nowhere to go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he was saying how they're thinking, you know, like brick and mortar stores are really in trouble, and malls and that sort of thing. And do they have a place in the, you know, future here? Like J. Crew is preparing to file bankruptcy.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Crazy.
I mean, I think that's good. It's important that, you know, people like voice that, and you know,
right,
well, what do the teenagers have to do? Like, that's what I did when I was a teenager, is go to the right. mall.
And so. I think that they're gonna be like, you know, the mall, like, it's turned into like a safe place to go to, because I'd rather for a teenager go to the mall than to go to somebody's house. Like, at least it's a public place. I mean, there's actually no safe place for with unsafe activity. But yeah, I also my suspicion and my thought too is that, like, once we're really coming out of this, it's going to be, I mean, people are already breaking the rules. Like, people are protesting to not be quarantined without a mask or anything. Like, people are going to go back to doing what they were doing before. We're going to get out of this around the holiday season. And, like, I think that the malls, the brick and mortar spots, they're going to have more of an incentive for, like, you know, having sales and doing whatever they can to get people to come to the stores, because they got to make up for the money that they lost. But then many of them are getting bailouts anyway, so they probably don't care. Unless they have to pay employees, you know, like, so, because it's actually the citizens that are, they're getting the bad end of the stick, because big business is going to be okay, ultimately.
Yeah, we're not getting any deals. I was waiting for all the deals. I'm like, you know, I'm moving. And so I'm like, furniture store is definitely going to have a sale.
Right.
And I'm like checking and checking. The only thing they offer is like, set your own furniture up. Like, no in-home delivery. Right. Like, that's not a deal.
Come pick it up for free.
I'm going to pass.
Right,
I'll
right.
just wait it out. I'm
well,
not
going to
spend my entire weekend putting together one bookshelf.
I appreciate catching up with you, and thanks for being willing to come and talk on my podcast. And you have any parting words?
Parting words?
Parting words.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, yeah, regarding the coronavirus or just life in general. Or
life in general.
Parenting. Life in general. I mean, I think you kind of nailed it earlier when you said that we're all kind of living with more intentionality. Is that an actual word? I don't know if you said that, but I was saying that and I wasn't sure if it was. Anywho. But yes, I think living life with intention, we kind of got like smacked in the face with it, but I feel like it was definitely needed, and we all can take advantage of the opportunity to, you know, make ourselves our best version of ourselves, and, you know, exude that into the world, because I feel like it's been so polarizing, and
mm-hmm.
we all kind of need something,
right,
to bring ourselves, you know, back together again.
Back together. And I definitely think that if nothing else, people have come together. Like, people have decided to find new ways to connect with people that they haven't connected with, and people are more, I mean, you have to be, I identify as an introvert. I don't really do like the whole party thing, but I know I've been to more parties like in quarantine than ever. I know that for facts, because like, I feel like I'm doing social activities that I wouldn't go to a mixer or, you know, I wouldn't do any of that, like, outside of, like, because I would be thinking about all the stuff that I have to do, and I'd be tired, and I'm like, I'm going home. But this has kind of opened me up to, like, doing more out there more, which I think is very interesting. I did also realize how much I, like, value being around people, even if the interaction wasn't, like, hugging and kissing and things like that. I just enjoy, like, the movement of people and watching people, and that's something that I definitely miss. But it's also pretty cool to see people walking in the park and, you know, just finding ways to enjoy their families. I've been going to, like, walking around certain neighborhoods just to see how people are experiencing, especially new neighborhoods. It's kind of like a litmus test, like, to see how people are experiencing, like, newer developments and quarantine, and it's kind of snoopy, but, like, looking in people's windows to see what they're doing, and, like, I know it sounds terrible, but anyway, happy Mother's Day. I hope your Mother's Day is really great, and
no, thank you,
and we'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good. Well, thanks for having
me.
No
problem. Bye, Kyson.
Oh, he says bye in his sleep.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
All right, good night.